Okay, today's daf is daf Chof Zayin, and let's begin again at the Mishnah on Chof Vav Amid Beis so we can get into the sugi properly. Ha'isha shenichbisha b'idei ovdei kochavim al yedei mamon mutaret leba'ala al yedei nefashot asura leba'ala. So we have over here now two new elements we haven't discussed up until now. We've had until now a case where a woman was kidnapped. In the context of her kidnapping, we clearly have to worry that maybe she was raped. We don't consider it to be a vadai, despite the fact that the kachonim are obviously under such circumstances for sure are going to rape her. But since the isha is menavelet atatzma, so we don't have a 100% raya that she was raped. And mamela, we have the vishvuya hikilu, that even if we have the testimony of someone that there's an eid echad, it normally wouldn't be koshly at this, we accept it. And we'll see more of that later. Here we have two new aspects. We have a nech b'shal yedei mamayin, number one. Number two, we have nech b'shal yedei nefashot. So nech b'shal yedei mamon, we have over here a situation in which she is being held as money she owes, or others learn that her husband owes, someone that's not really machlokes, but the bottom line is that she's being held in order to exert pressure. So we have over there the question of whether if they want to exert pressure, would there be, if it doesn't make sense for them to rape her. On the other hand, if she's being held for nefashot, then we've introducing yet a new issue, which is that she fears for her life more than she fears in regular kidnapping, where over there she has no reason to think they're going to kill her. I mean, ultimately, they want to ransom her. Why would they kill her? On the other hand, to rape her, that already, she'll do her best to avoid rape. Because of the new issue of fear for her life, we also have to worry about a different reaction on her part. Because where she's in a matzav in which she doesn't fear for her life, but she doesn't want to be violated. So over there, she'll try her best not to be violated. And even if she were, the chashash that we have is only vis-a-vis a husband who's a kohen, because otherwise we would consider her to be a victim of rape. So for a husband who's a Yisrael, there would be no problem of a wife who is raped. But over here, because of the fact that she's now under enormous pressure because of the chashash of her own death, and they're keeping her specifically, basically, she's on death row. So over there, we have now a whole new question. And that question is that she herself may indeed use her own abilities to get friendly with her jailers in order to save her life. In which case, that might be considered to be she was nitrat seit. If she's nitrat seit, so then we've got a problem of an iser even to a husband who is a Yisrael. So this is not so partial. You'll notice that we don't say anything over here about the kuna. It just says the sur labala, which is certainly is mashma, any baal, whether it's kohen or Yisrael. And indeed, both Rashi and Tosis learn that over here it means any baal, because of the problem of her basically trying to become friendly with the jailers. And under such circumstances, when people are in fear of their life and they're in the hands of other people, they begin to actually think like their jailers, and they start acting like them, and underneath it all, there's, of course, a hope that they'll save themselves. Now, lemaisa, not everyone agrees. It's almost, one could say, almost a machlokas between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim. It's very interesting. All of the Rashi, Tosfos, and the other Ashkenazim essentially follow this line, that we would consider Ritzui, under those circumstances, a reason to aser her, and she would be considered to be not a victim of rape, but should be asura on the Baal as well. However, many of the Sfardim, Rishayim, the Rimi Gash, sometimes the Rambam also, learned that under such circumstances, and here the Ramban sort of is in the middle, and he's the one that raises the taina that Rav Mati raised yesterday, which is that, look, I mean, even if she would be nitrat seit, it's only under the threat of death. So that's not called Ritzu. That itself is part of the way in which she is reacting to a threat on her life. So she's considered to be anusa, to be nitrat seit, under, if this is the way she's going to save herself, so that's considered to be itself an onus. Sorry? Ramban. No, the Ramban. Yes. That's something else, klizayna alea, that she has ways of avoiding death. But over here, she's under death penalty. That's a different issue, that we're not afraid of the... But they hear she needs to go out of her way to avoid death. Not stamnet.
What is the question of the three things that one should
So now we have to raise. I'm not quite sure how you mean it, but we have to raise the issue of over here the fact that it's gilui arayot. I assume you mean that even if she would be saving her life, she should be asura. But that's an error because. But yeah, but she didn't. I mean, we're saying we should. There's no reason for us to think that she's a martyr. I mean, so, we have to be chayish that on the contrary, she tried to save herself. But even if she did, in those issues, somebody who has a gun to his head is over on any of the three averas, he would be potter, because he's considered to be an onus. So even though he shouldn't allow himself to be an onus, he is nonetheless considered to be an onus, except a male when it comes to the sexual isurim, because we don't view an erection as an onus. But a female is an onus, is an anusa. So over here, she would be considered to be anusa. That's Ramban's taina. Why wouldn't the additional, whatever she's doing to save her life, also be part of the anusa?
Now, the truth... construes consent. Is that what
we're saying? What's that?
An erection construes consent.
An erection construes das, yes. Right. In other words, there has to be some element of his going along with it. I mean, it's not child, there's an onus, therefore for a male. Now, the problem over here is that there is a major, major difference between the active pursuit of a way out of a problem and the action that you take as a result of a gun to your head. And this is the Rambam's famous distinction between the din of an onus who has a gun to his head, let's say he's a vampire. On one hand, he has a gun to his head that says, kill somebody or I'll kill you. He goes in and he kills that person, he's potter. But let's say he's a vampire, and he has absolutely no blood to drink. The only blood that he could possibly drink is this one person. If he drinks his blood, he's going to kill him. And he needs all of that blood to survive. In that case, says the Rambam, he's chayiv. Despite the fact that it's also under the same threat of death. But it's because it's his choice in that case. There's no external thing other than his own choice to survive his own requirements by drinking the other guy's blood. So there's a tremendous difference. The gun is considered to be removal of your das. So now you're functioning as somebody else's mind. Over here, in choosing the way you're going to save yourself, you're functioning as your mind. And therefore, no matter how much pressure there is on you, pressure doesn't create onus, because you're not supposed to give in to the pressure. The reality is that if it's somebody else's mind, so then it's not your mind, then that's an onus. And that is the taina that they say back to Ramban. To say that she decided to save her life by getting turned on to her captors is not considered to be an onus. That's real onus. So therefore, in terms of the isur to her husband, she would be asura to her husband, even a husband who's a Yisrael. It's one of the issues that's brought up over here. But in any event, you can see that we have now three levels. We have the case where it's pure hefker, they're taking her, they can do with her what they want. We have the case over here of nechbesha, for mammon, where they would obviously like to keep her clean in order to maintain the legalities and not be mafsid their mammon. Then we have nechbesha, yedei nefashot, in which there's a sense that her life is in danger, and we even enter into a new realm of perhaps her being nitratzet. Because Karka Olam doesn't change the Yisra and her husband. It only changes the question whether she has to be Boser as Nefesh. That's the question, why she nonetheless wasn't. That's a whole big, beautiful, beautiful, Rav Kook Zatzal wrote a beautiful chibur on that, to show that conditions that are miyuchet for the saving of Yisrael are different in terms of honest than normal conditions. But, okay, in any event, The question over here would be whether there would be ne'emanut on her, and this we now have to see what the circumstances are. The Amr of Shumar of Yitzchak, Amr Rav, the whole halak of it we have over here in our Mishnah, that at least where there's legalities and they're trying to preserve her purity, because it's only Ayyadei Mammon that's talking about Tafka lo shonar lo shiyad Yisrael tekifal of dekochavim, avoyad of dekochavim tekifal atzman, afilo Ayyadei Mammon asura lebala. This is only where you have accountability. Accountability means that, look, the goyim are going to have to account to the Yisrael what they did. And if not, they could be countersued, they'll lose their money, and God only knows what. But if there's no accountability, and basically they run their own lives, or as the other Rishonim say, this is a euphemism, they run the Jewish lives, al atzman, we don't want to say al Yisrael, but it really means, basically, they're in charge. So they believe they could do whatever they want, and the Jews are helpless. And it doesn't matter, they're not accountable. Over there, we wouldn't be mechalik between mamon and between Isur. So over there, Momon also, they could kill her too. Asks Rava from the following case. Hayid Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Zechariah ben HaKatzav, Al Bat Yisrael, Shuhur Hanaba Ashkelon. Now, the problem is that we're introducing yet a fourth element here. And this is the element of Hur Hana. Hur Hana means a woman is taken as a mashkon. Now, that is entirely different than the legal proceedings in which they're simply trying to pressure you. A mashkon means like any other mashkon. Meaning, if you don't pay by day X, so we're going to keep her. So they used to view a woman basically as chattel, and if the husband wouldn't pay up, so then they have a right to keep that woman. At this point, we're assuming that we can view Hurana as the same as Nechbesha. Now, later we're going to have Bimachalik, and it's clear that there ought to be differences between them. But let's assume for a moment it's the same. So she was Hurana Ba'ashkelon, V'richakua B'nei Mishpachta. The family refused to accept her. Now, obviously, this is already Nogea, as it does this point, Sam, has got to be Nogea the Kahuna. I mean, otherwise, what's a child say? Her family? What's her family? Doesn't have anything to do with her. But a family that is normally Miucheset. So they were Marchiker. They held she wasn't Ksher Lekahuna. Despite the fact that her witnesses, the same witnesses who said that she was Hurana, are saying that Lamaisa, she wasn't Nistera, that she wasn't Nitma. Now, there's a lot of discussion of the issues of Apesha Asra, Apesha Hitir, and so on and so forth over here. And the Reb Kiveger's pshat in Idyas, which is the clearest pshat that I know of, is that Be'etzem we're talking about always, but like the word Edeha. Edeha is the pshat, they are Edim Shelah specifically. It's talking about her own shivcha. Later on, we're going to see that her own shivcha is not Nemenet. But the family believed the shivcha vis-a-vis the Hurana. So to them, she was an menace. They said, well, she's been working for us her whole life. We know her. When she says something, we believe it. On the other hand, the special relationship she has with her, that we don't accept. But that it happened, it happened. So the Chachomim tied it to them. Im atem ma'aminim shurana, yaminu shelo nistra v'shelo nitma. You can't do that. Either you're going to believe her that she was Hurana, but then you have to believe the rest of it. V'im atem ma'aminim shelo nistra v'shelo nitma. Al taminu shurana. Fine. Whatever the halach is, that's not what's so important for us right now. But what bothers me, says Rava, is note that the event, and it tells us where it took place. Why do you think it tells us where it took place? It was Hurana Ba'ashkelon to let us know that despite the fact that Ashkelon was not under Jewish control. So it's very interesting. Rashi says it was not under Jewish control because Ashkelon was Meretz Plishtim, which is sort of a shvach raya that Ashkelon was not under Jewish control at the time that we're talking about over here, Reb Zechariah ben Akatsav. I mean, this is by the years of the Churban. Reb Zechariah ben Akatsav lived at the time of the Beit HaMikdash and afterwards. But what's interesting is that Rashi throws in the additional words that, and besides, it was after Yisrael were Golu, which, and besides, I mean, but worse than that is that Reb Zechariah ben Akatsav lived before Yisrael were Golu. Well, even that isn't so, because as Rashi knows that he's talking about a Maisa that happened after the Churban. Maybe he's talking about a Maisa that happened before the Churban. So could Rami, and there are those who tie to this on Rashi. What kind of business is this to say? There's something funny is going on in this Rashi, right? He seems to be indicating that there were elements of Golos that with the Gemara traces before, 40 years before, 100 years before, different things happened. So that the first areas that would have been lost control would be areas where the Palestinians can claim this is area E or whatever. So Mamela over here, or A, whatever. So there, it's Mistabra that indeed they lost control. Okay, but in any event, Rava Tainas, I say that Ashkelon was clearly not an area under Jewish control. In which case it was Yadov Deko Chavim Tekifal Atzma. And notice that it says that the case over here is a case of Hurana. And I think that Hurana is Dafka Hurana. I think that the Indian of Hurana, Hurana means that she was a Mashkan. A Mashkan means that they entered into this understanding. The woman with her own das goes in there and says, look, if I don't get paid up by such and such a time, then I belong to you. So in which case, obviously, we need to have Edim, and then we have the whole discussion of these kosher Edim and not kosher Edim.
She's putting herself up as?
Whoever puts her husband, but the point is that the Goyim believe, and the law accepts, that she really belongs to them. So obviously, under those circumstances, you need to have testimony that in this case, they didn't sleep with her. So over there, we have the problem. But, I mean, I would assume, says Rava, that that's very, very dafka, that it's Hurana. But in a case where it would be Nechpesha, we don't need Edim, because the whole issue over here had nothing to do with Nifashot. It had to do with Mamon. And if that steps, otherwise what's a check talk about the Mashkin? So if under the same circumstances that the Hurana, namely for money, would have actually been a Nechpesha, so then the Mashma'ut would be that we don't even have a need for Edim. Which means that the Mishnah that says that if she was Nechpesha for monetary purposes, we can assume that she is not Tameya, is true even in Ashkelon. But that's a problem because Reb Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak quotes Rav as saying it would not be true in Ashkelon. So how do you explain that? Says the Gemara, lo. Hu adin afilu nechbesha. The halacha would have been exactly the same even in a case of nechbesha. And the only reason that it mentions Hurana is not to make a point of Hurana. It's because ma'aseh shehaya kach haya. Your whole diak is not a good diak. You're trying to say that I would not require, in cases of Nechpesha, which was the case of the Mishnah, I would not require the Edim. But you're wrong. I would have required Edim even for Nechpesha because of the fact that it was an Ashkelon. But the only difference between Nechpesha and Hurana would be if it weren't an Ashkelon. But if it's an Ashkelon, then ain't Achinami. So in other words, we have two wild cards over here. The location and the circumstances. So the location is given as Ashkelon. The circumstances are given as Hurana as opposed to Nechpesha. If we take both of those wild cards as being Bedavka, so then we end up with Rav's Diyuk, which is against Rav's Halacha. But if we say that, well, even if the wild card of location is Bedavka, that is Bedoraim, it still would make sense, because maybe Hurana is Lavdavka. Maybe that was the story. So we can be Deicha Rav. Now obviously we can reverse the whole discussion. And we can do it in the other direction. Ikadi Amri. Others say that actually what happened was that Rava didn't ask a kasha on the psak of Rav quoted by Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, but rather he brought a raya to it from this maisa. And he said, Afananami Tanina, hey, Eid Rabbi Yossi HaKoyin v'Zerachaya ben HaKatzav, from the Mishnah in Idiot, we see that in the Edut, Albat Yisrael Shurana ba'ashkelon v'richkua b'nei mishpachta, v'edea me'idim alei ashelon nistra v'shelon nitma'a, v'yomru chachamim im atem ma'aminim shuhurana, האמינו שלא נסתרה ושלא נטמעה. ואם אין אתם מאמינים שלא נסתרה ושלא נטמעה, אל תאמינו שהורנה. And here is my דיוק. The case in Ashkelon was a case of ממון. And you see over here, תאימה דעדים מעדים אותה. אין עדים מעדים אותה, לא. And in this version, we view the הורנה as a wild card. Right? So in other words, now Rav is coming along and he says, well, now, here you see, it was in Ashkelon. And if it wouldn't have been for the fact that we had witnesses, we wouldn't have been able to be matir. It's only al yidei momon. What are you going to do with the Mishnah? It must be that Rav's psak is absolutely correct. Rav was saying that this was only if it's in an area under Jewish control, and Ashkelon wasn't under Jewish control. And that's the pshat. And I'm assuming that the other business is just a loose maisa. And I assume my lav lo shna hurana v'lo shna nechbesha in this version. And in this version, we're now going to be Doche Rav as Raya by saying that maybe on the contrary. Maybe that Hurana is indeed very, very different. Because in the case of Hurana, it's accepted that legally she belongs to them. She was Nichneset on that understanding. So over there, obviously I'm going to need witnesses. Mashenken, if it would only be Nechbesha, then there should be no problem. Now the arrival of Rav Barnea, who may actually have Ashkelon at the time of the Churban in his neighborhood, may be a very timely event, and if he will enter into the sukkah at this moment, we could view it as, look at this. Rav Barnea came into the sukkah. Can you tell us what the status was of Ashkelon and Eretz Plishtim Lifnei, immediately in the years preceding the Churban, and why Rashi would say about Reb Zechariah ben HaKatzav that he is considered to be La'achar Shagolo Yisrael, despite the fact that he lived at the time at the Beis HaMikdash was Kayan? Have you information? Or we're catching you off guard. No, I'm afraid to listen.
Kufa.
What?
Dama ben Sin is in that Kufa. He's not Jewish. Come and go to him. So they have contact there in and out. But the question is, what is a Jewish Yishuv there at that time?
No. The question was, who's in charge? That was the question. So you can't bring us any riot. We know about your Dama ben Sin story. They found people by that name there. You can tell us. No, it's not going to be that. It's always interesting. We needed some excuse. The Shvach excuse. Now, there's yet a third version. In the third version, the contradiction between the cases was the source of the psak of Rav in the first place. Not that we just brought this in agav. The whole thing starts by examining our Mishnah in light of the Mishnah in Idyas. So, Ikad Aramila Mirma, there are those who start with the contradiction in the Mishnahites. Tnan, in our Mishnah, Yedei Mamon, Mutaret Lebala. So in this version, we ask, Ramimi, what do we do with the Mishnah Idiot? We're Hayid, Rabbi Yossi, etc., etc. And we ask that Maisa in that Mishnah Idiot was Ashkelon, was the story of Mammon. And you see that the only Taina was that there were Edim. And if it weren't to be for the Edim Edimota, Ein Edim Edimota, lo, we would never have accepted her for a husband. Why not? I thought the Mishnah says that if it's Ayyadei Mammon, they're going to be Zohir not to ruin her. They're afraid of getting into trouble with the Mammon. And in this version, the Makor of Reb Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak was Lokasha. The actual steer provided the data for Kan Sheyad Yisrael Tekifal of Dekochavim, Kan Sheyad of Dekochavim Tekifal Atzman, and in this version, Hurana and Nechpesha is not considered to be significant enough to provide even an answer for what was otherwise a Ramila Mirma. So we basically have three levels in which we're able to approach this distinction between Hurana and Echpesha and the events in Ashkenaz.
This woman, there's no of her being before the actual marriage. That she's a down to two lives, or values higher. This isn't relevant to...
Not about that she's married.
She's married.
Yeah. Yedenefashot Asura, but on the other hand, if she was taken for Nefashot, then that's a problem. So Rav says, Omar Rav, now remember that Rashi was talking about the question of whether she was taken for her own din, when it comes to the moment, when it comes to Nefashos. Over here in the Gemara, clearly we are adding a case where the husband was in trouble with the government. Kagon Hane Nashi Ganve. So the government was nohig that when they would hang a guy, part of what they would do is they would be mafkir the family. And in that case, if they had the wife before they got the guy, so then if they would hang him, that's talking about nefashos for her too, because it's the equivalent. There's no holds barred. And Levi says, no, it's not really a blanket kind of thing. That was only in very unique cases where a guy was Al Capone and they really needed to make an example of him, like the famous case that we had of Ben Dunai was okay. I mean, he was a really major guy. They were mafkir the whole family and so on, but normally just a regular gunner for a moment, they're not Arabs. I mean, it's not going to civilize, so that they wouldn't be mafkir the whole family. Omar Chizkia v'hu shenigmar dinan lahariga. The question is, when does the celebration begin? Is it only after the court actually paskins that we're taking them out to kill them? Or even when it's still open? But they'll probably paskin to kill him, so we might as well start. Well, the question is, when do the mobs get out of control?
It sounds like a machlokas in the theist.
It could be that it really is a machlokas in areas and so on. I mean, these kind of things are not... there's a number of possibilities, but it could be a question of the chumrah of where it is that the kula actually is, where will be noyagar kula about b'shvuya, and where we won't, or it could be nafkaminas in places, or it could be the extent at which the percentage is considered to be valuable enough to us to measure la loka. Very difficult to know in cases like this. I mean, sometimes the Gemara will go out of this is a judgment call. I mean, sometimes the Gemara goes out of its way to say velo pligi. All right, we don't have Saba Josh here. We don't have our president here. We don't have Richie here. It looks like I'm going to have to do it myself.
We have a host.
The host is not particularly Yiddish oriented. All right. Zok Terele Kamishnah. Yer Shekafshua Charkon. Now we have another question. We have an army that is passing through a city. And now that means that we don't have a particular woman that's in a particular place that is under particular control. We just have a problem that affects an entire city. The entire city is now being invaded. So the halacha is that kol ka'anot shenimtzu betocha psulot. We have to assume that anyone who's married to a kohen is considered to have been raped. And I mean, soldiers are not gonna be machalik over here. They have an opportunity to take a woman, they'll take her. And therefore, we have to assume that they're psulot. However, there's a big kula over here. And that is that we will accept even an eved or a shivcha, areyelu ne'emanim, we will believe them that she wasn't raped. And in ne'eman adama yedeyatzmo, but with the single caveat that a person is certainly not ne'eman on themselves, we'll see, I mean, that seems to be evident from the beginning, we'll see that this may include a type of personal shivcha that is considered to be an extension of the person's own persona. So that we have to see what this lashon may imply later. Asks the Gemara, Raminu, Baleshet Sheba'al Le'ir. You have now a Baleshet. Now a Baleshet means particularly people, soldiers that are coming searching for something. That's a Baleshet, someone who is going through things. So if they're searching the city, so Bisha'at Shalom, where there's no war that is going on, so chaviyot p'tuchot asurot stubot b'tarot. Over here we're talking about, once again, of course, the wine-women interrelationship and the open barrels and the closed barrels are strangely interrelated. We've seen this pattern. But this, on the surface, has nothing to do with women. It has to do with wine. When we get to the song, then we'll really see what's going to happen. So if you find a barrel of wine that's open, you have to assume that, look, a soldier sees a nice opportunity to pour out something for Virgin Mary or whatever, why not take advantage of the opportunity of a nice barrel of wine and so that they were menasech? But if the wine is sealed, so then so if it's sealed, so then it's mutarot. But if it's b'sha'at milchama, so b'sha'at milchama, look, people don't have time to sit around worrying about Bloody Marys, indeed. They're worried about getting shot, and there's other soldiers that are shooting at them, and so on. So then, you don't have to worry that they were menasech. And elu ve'elu mutarot, l'fishein p'nai l'nasech. People don't sit around and worry about wine in the middle of a war. Now, our mission is saying that it's irshikov shua. You still have to worry about the fact that maybe they raped the women. Why don't we say they're worried about flying bullets? Says the Gemara, because there's always time for rape. I mean, religion is one issue, but I mean, rape is much more serious. So,
it's been proven.
Of course.
Yeah,
Leave all yesh l'nasech and p'nai. I mean, people have a much more desire for leave all than they have for l'nasech. So they won't find the time to do their religious stuff, but they will certainly find their time to handle a Jewish woman that they come across. And the male of the Mishnah has no contradiction at all to the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar, Mishmeda Chizkiya, Amar, Kan bekarkom shel otam malchut, kan bekarkom shel malchut acheret. The whole issue doesn't begin bichlal, because who says that we're talking about in a there's tremendous nafkamina here. How to learn this sugi between Rashi and Tosfos? Mamish minakotza elakotza. They learn it completely opposite ways. So depends who said that we're talking about a wild soldiery that is not interested in taking care of the populace. Maybe it means that they've come in, but that they're interested, basically, in taking this city to be a peaceful addition to the kingdom. It's right up against the boundary. This will be our new extended territory, and they have every desire to keep the population happy and welcoming them by throwing flowers, and they certainly do not want their soldiers going around raping, and they'll shoot soldiers that rape. I mean, why? It's how Rashi lives. So if we're talking about that type of thing, where it's a karkom shalotam malchut, then we have nothing to worry about because the soldiers are not being let free on a leash.
Interesting, Rashi lived in France and holds by that.
Why?
Well, the understanding when the British were here and the Haganah was hiding weapons by the women, soldiers, because the British were too gentlemanly to check the women, and so it was understood that it was good that we were occupied by the British and not by the French.
I see.
Sipari opened its gates to Vespasian and was spared. Sipari opened its gates to Vespasian and was spared.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So therefore, in that case, we don't have to worry about it. If it's another Malchus or just interested in despoiling the city, so they'll despoil the women. So kan b'kakorim shel malchut acheret. Now, according to Rashi, the Gemara's next question is a very strange question. And he even asks the Gemara if it's b'kakorim shel otah malchut nami. I mean, shouldn't we worry about whether every soldier is going to listen to the rules? Who ever heard of such a thing? I mean, once soldiers are free, why don't we worry about they're running around loose? I mean, we're not worried that a soldier is going to take the women against the rules. It's talking about that they've posted sentries, and they've got a solid line of shmira to make sure that the population is not hurt by the soldiers. Yes, the Gemara, and all of a sudden, watchmen are supposedly reliable, but nobody falls asleep on the job, and the soldiers don't see when they fall asleep. I mean, come on. They got to take a little rest here and there, you know, and anybody that's around that mishmar knows that now's the time to have fun. Omer Rabbi Levi, it's talking about that they didn't allow the soldiers' entry into the town stam. And what they did was they set up a laser alarm system around the town, so that anybody who goes into town, it raises a ruckus like you've never seen. Now, they had better even than a laser. What they did is they had chains, you see, and these chains were attached to pieces of wood that were loose and would rustle immediately, which were right next to some sleeping German shepherds, which were right next to a bunch of geese. So what would happen is, if anybody rustled a chain, the immediate racket would put any kind of alarm system to shame. I mean, you can imagine the geese in this song had real chain reaction. So this is it's the end. Yeah. So the Mahadile Lamata Shushilta, the Kalba, the Gavza, the Avza, I mean they had it really completely protected. And so therefore there's no way that any of these guys would have gotten into town. This is how Rashi learns it. This is very strange. I mean, so because we're chayshish, that one is parish, so therefore it gets the din of the karkam, and the whole din of the karkam was that it's a free for all. I mean, it's mishmaros, because you can use a time where a guy sleeps, so that's considered to be the equivalent of the karkam. Tosis is absolutely spoiled. What kind of weird shot is this? It should be the other way around. I mean, we're talking about. So he understands basically that it's the exact opposite. If it's a karkum of utam malchut that is coming in for whatever tax purposes, or you know, where people have been reported to be in rebellion and so on, they have nothing to worry about. Which is the pashas of the sugya. They're not dodging bullets from anybody else. They've got lots of time to sit around and do what they want. And so over there, they have p'nai l'naseich, and they have p'nai liv'ol, and so on and so forth. If, however, that they're invaders, so invaders are really being shot at. So then they've got a problem. So far as the question of efshar, the arik is referring to the women. It's saying, and what, it's not possible that some of the women escaped. And if that's the case, we're going to see later on, if we have a place where we can be matir some, then we can be matir all. So if it's possible to escape, then we ought to be able to be matir all of them. To which we answer that nobody could escape, because any escaping woman would have triggered the laser alarm. Okay, fine. He has also a kind approach to how to explain why Rashi is learning the way he's learning, but we have two different approaches to this. Omer Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Pligi Bar Rabbi Yudin Nesi of Rabbana, Chad Omer Kan Bekarkom Shel Otam Malchut, Kan Bekarkom Shel Malchut Acheret, Velo Kashele Velo Midi. One of them did not consider it significant, the question of, and maybe somebody could escape, or maybe a chayal could get in. So, it doesn't change anything as far as he's concerned. We don't view it as Kavshua Karko. Whereas Chad Kashele Kolani, the other one went through this whole agonizing question, and what about this, what about that? And he answered, "Kanda mada leilamata shushil to vekabel vegavz veyavz." Fine. Omer Avida bar Rav and Omer Yitzchak bar Ashiyan, and this, according to Tosfos, we will take into consideration the first place. Im yesha marbuachat batzelot al karonot kulan. If you've got one place where a woman could have been in hiding in some kind of basement, or what they used to use in the ghettos, what they call it,
bunker.
Yeah, a bunker. See, if there was a bunker that somebody could hide out in. So then you can tie it that each one of them could be the one that hid out. We no longer have an assumption that necessarily everybody had to have been exposed to these soldiers. So then it's matzalet ala karnot kulan. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, how about if the bunker only has room for one? So if you're telling me there's a bunker that a lot of people could have hid out, and then our overall psak is not clear, it's rove or a miyot, okay, I mean, so then I understand, but suppose we're talking about a case. One person could hide out. Can we say that, therefore, and that was what we were asking earlier, and couldn't one person have escaped? So if one person hides out, would that also be a way for us to be matir each individual and say, okay, so this is the individual that hid out, or not? Mi amrina kol chod v'chod hainuha. Can we paskin that each woman, well, maybe she hid in the bunker, so we don't have any indication that she was raped. O dima lo amrina. So I don't understand. Isn't this like a classic application of the din of Shnei Shvilim? Seems to me. I mean, Maishlam is Shnei Shvilim. We have the famous case where you have two paths, one of which, if somebody walked across this road, there would be no way to avoid Tuma because there were Kvarim across the entire road. That he didn't, wouldn't have been evident. But if you walked across that space, you had to have been Mekabel Tuma from a mace. So one Shvil is Tameh, and one Shvil is Tahar. Now he walked on one of these, and he went ahead and was osetares. His friend walked on the other one, and was osetares. And now their shaila was, they're coming to ask whether they have to assume that they walked on the one that was tamei or not. So over there, Rabbi Yehuda says, well, im nishal ze bifnei atzmo veze bifnei atzmo Torah. Each one asks separately. So each one comes into best and says, well, look, you had a cheskes tira. We don't know that you walked on the one that was tamei. So you could consider it to be Torah. But if they walk in together to ask, Shneim Keachat or Tmeot. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Omer, Benkach u Benkach Tmeim, that look, since we can't paskin on both of them that they're Tahar, so we have to paskin that they're Tameh. And Rava, or some say it was Rabbi Yochanan, clarified the Machlokas, which clarification seems to throw light on our case. And they said that if it was talking about that the two people walked in together, so then, of course, we can't paskin that they're both tar. That's absurd, because they're not both tar. Can't both be tar. So, bivat acha divriyakot me'im. Bezeh achar zeh divriyakot horim. Lo nechleku ela beba lishol alav yachaveiro. The problem over here is we're talking about only one walks in. But he walks in to ask two questions. And he asks the question separately. Am I tar? Then when they pass him and he's tar, he says, now I had a friend who also walked. He walked on the other one. Is he tar? So there we have a question. Mar medamile lebevat achad. One says, since it's being asked in one ma'amad by one person, despite the fact that it's affecting two separate individuals, it turns out to be a contradiction in terms. We can't tell the same guy that he is tar and his friend is tar. If we don't have to worry about that guy, so then we deal with each of them as a separate case. But here we can't deal with each of them as a separate case. Umar medamile lebezeach hazeh. But over here, we have a psak halacha on the city, right? So if we have a psak halacha on the city, so achanamik, even the shari lelekulo, it would be kevat achat. I mean, by definition, we're saying that the kohanot are mutarot. Why? Because each one of them could have been nitzal. What do you mean? Only one was nitzal. So how can we say to two people, both of you are torah? Because each of you maybe went on the shvil that was tar. The bunker over here is the shvil that was tar, so to speak. We know that one of them did and one of them didn't. How would that work? What kind of comparison is there to shnei shvilim? In shnei shvilim, the whole point of shnei shvilim is that you have vadai tuma on one and no tuma on the other. Over here, you don't have vadai tuma in the case of the ones who are not in the bunker. You have a chashash. You're asking me whether there's a contradiction in terms of a chashash to say that we'll rely that each one of them could have been the one. Why? Because, well, the other one is definitely tmeya. How could she be? Well, who said she's definitely tmeya? So maybe to allow for an escape hatch, literally, so an escape hatch would work on a suffix. We don't have anything to tell us 100% that she was raped. Maybe in that case, it's a perfectly valid question to ask. Can we rely on an escape hatch? That's the question.
Like a fake
it's a different concept, which is tsluya. Right, so we're tailor on something. Tailor on something in cases where there's an initial chasoka is always much easier, even than fake. Boy Ravashi. How about Amra Lonichbeit? How about if she admits, she says, look, I didn't even know there was a bunker, but I got to tell you, Lonichbeit. So now over here, she's got amigo again. Who asked her to say that she didn't hide out in the bunker? As far as we're concerned, she could have been a woman that hid out in the bunker. We would have told her, it's fine. So she's got to open up her fat trap. That I didn't have the trap. So she's got to say, well, I didn't know about the bunker. Just be quiet. But she wasn't quiet. So now she's saying, but, lo nitmeti. So me, I'm Rinan Mali Leshaker. Do we say, look, a person who could have had a better taina, she could have said nechbeti. And instead, she just says, lo nitmeti, lo nitmeti. So she should believe with the koch of the ne'emanut that she could have simply not said anything. Or do we say, look, I mean, we have a assumption that if she wasn't nichbet, that she was raped, and we said she's not nemenet al yedei atzma. So what are we supposed to do? This is not a question. Here, what it is that she's saying, she's not nemenet to say otherwise afterwards. Says the Gemara, well, don't we have a famous case like that? The case is of the rent-a-donkey. Now, the shiloh over there was, it was a famous mice of a hugavra. The ogre lechamra lechavra, a guy is renting a donkey to his friend. Okay, so he's saying, look, I'm renting you the donkey, but you can't use it on the road to Nahar Pakot. Because the road to Nahar Pakot is always flooded. There's always accidents there with donkeys. It's not a sure-footed donkey. You can't go that way. Because Ikamaya, you've got to use the Narish road. Over there, Lekamaya. The guy goes on the Nahar Pakot road, of course. The donkey dies, of course. And he comes to Rava, and he's not being sued. So he says, well, it's true. I went on the road to Nahar Pakot. But the whole thing was, I don't know where he gets that. There was no water on the road to Nahar Pakot. The donkey stam was a no good donkey. It wasn't going on all four cylinders from the beginning. So that's considered to be Meita Machmat Melacha. I'm not responsible for it. It's an onus. I'm not responsible for it. So Avi Maya. So Rava said, Malal Shakir. Iboy Omar Levi Urchad Denar Shazli. Rava says, that's a very good migo. What did he have to say that he went on the... He could have just said, look, I went on Narish, and the donkey died. To which Abaya said, you can't say Mali L'Shaker B'mokamedim. Mali L'Shaker B'mokamedim Lo Amrina. So where you have an umdana, where the road of Nahar Pakod is always flooded, and this guy's claiming, no, it's not flooded. That's like to say amigo B'mokamedim. You don't say such a thing.
That's Narish Kite.
That's right.
That's now.
Again, says the Gemara, there's no comparison. Because the assumption that there's water on the road to Nahar Pakot is viewed as Eidos. That's a Vadaiketim Dikamaya. What are you going to say over here? Vadaitmi? Is that it? That when there's a Karkam, I mean, we know we have a lot of Hashashas, but obviously, people, I mean, you're talking about a big city with people running from place to place, soldiers not knowing their way around. I mean, who's to say? Over here, it's a Hashasha. B'mokom b'chasha, we could certainly be semech on mali l'shaker. Now, the Mishnah says, Im yesh edim afilu eved, v'afilu shivcha, ne'emanim. Does that mean even her own shivcha? Because, I mean, it says anybody, it seems to think anybody but herself, because it ain't Adam Neman on himself, but mashma, even her own personal shivcha, is believed. The problem is, v'ramini, in a case where a man writes a get to his, he's ill, writes a get to his wife to save her from Yibam, and we say in those cases, he cannot use the get if he was alone with her after writing the get. That's called a get yashan, and we don't use a get yashan for reasons that we'll see when we get to Maseches Gittin, but Beisil asr a get yashan. So therefore, lo tityached imo, she can't be alone with him, unless there's a clear presence of somebody else to chaperone them. So el al pi edim, but when we say al pi edim, it doesn't mean al pi edim mamish. It means al pi eved, al pi shivcha, but one thing not al pi shivchata. For her own shivcha to be present is no guarantee that he didn't sleep with her. Because her own shivcha, she feels perfectly comfortable having sex in front of her. She feels like it's an extension of her own body. Personal valet on that level is not viewed as a different person. Omar of Papi, okay, so what? Well, why is that a question? I don't understand. So, you're asking, so therefore it's like she's made on herself. I mean, we know that bishvuya ikilu. We have all kinds of inyanim that we're trying to be matir a woman. So you're asking me from a case where we need to use the shivcha as assurance that she didn't sleep with this guy, you're saying it's not assurance. No, thank you very much. So it's not assurance. But if we have the testimony of a shivcha, and in a case where bishvuya ikilu specifically, maybe we can rely even on our own personal shivcha. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa says now, when it says shivcha, now it doesn't mean her own shivcha. Or b'shivcha didei, but not shivcha dida. Even her shivcha, meaning the one who works for her, meaning that it's owned by her husband. Now, the shivcha that's owned by her husband is not an extension of her body. It's not her personal valet. It's not her nanny, you know. It's such a concept. The child grows up with a black nanny. It's like that's me. Over here, it's shivcha dida would be different. You're telling me that shivcha dida lo me'emna, that indeed there's a difference between the shivcha and the shivcha is not believed? It says beferish at the end. I mean, hakatani ein adam me'id al atzmo. It doesn't really say that here. It says that in the Mishnah a little later, but some have that girsa even here. Literally, this lashon, that a person can't be made on themselves. But on themselves is on themselves. But I mean, but the shivcha is not herself, is it? I mean, mashma, anything but yourself is valid, even shivcha dida. So shivcha dida is me'emna. No, not true. Shivchata, according to Rav Papa, is herself. Shivchata nami ka'atzma dami. She sees her as a pure extension of herself. And therefore, whatever it is that the presence of the shivcha does not indicate anything at all beyond her own. Rav Ashi Omar, can you explain to me? I don't even understand the problem. What the heck is the problem? One case is talking about that the presence of the shivcha does not ensure that the guy didn't sleep with her. So what does that have to do with the fact that the shivcha says that a guy didn't sleep with her? Well, why is that exactly the same thing? I don't get it. Shivcha mirza chazya. The shivcha could see what happens, and she's not going to speak up, right? So vishatka. So in the case of the shchiv meira and the get, so ahatam v'shtikata matirata. I mean, not saying anything and being comfortable with this woman having sex with her husband. So that is the problem. I mean, that if she doesn't say anything, then she's going to end up being matir al yaday the get, which is really a get yashan. So there we say, no. You can't trust her shivcha. But over here, the point is not, it's not that she's quiet. She speaks up. Yes, Baba.
Is all this testimony in front of the base?
Yeah.
And why don't they do inquiry?
Because we don't want to. We're trying to make things easier, not harder. And we're relying on our other idea that a woman does her best not to be raped in the case of the shvuya. But hacha d'shtikata osarta. So there mehemna. Over here, if she doesn't actively say a lie, and she's just quiet. So she's believed if she actively says something. Where does it say in the Mishnah that a shivcha is not believed? All it says is that her presence isn't a guarantee of anything. I don't even see that the two are connected. So it's, well, why not? I mean, isn't it basically the same thing? I mean, she's going to come along. Hashtadami atu mishakra. I mean, if you're saying she will trust her shivcha not to say anything about the fact that she slept with her husband in the case of the get yashan, so then she trusts her shivcha to come to her side and say that she wasn't raped? No, says the Gemara. Not true. Tarti lo avda. Both to say, this is two steps. I mean, to say, she will be quiet about things that would ruin her mistress. Okay. But that she would actively lie is a different step. Where does it say that she would actively lie to say that I know that she wasn't nivelet? So you're comparing really two different issues, and I don't even see it as an issue. And Kihad Amari Bar Isik, I mean, look, there's clearly a difference between the step of not saying something which will incriminate somebody and saying something which will save him. And the fact that you won't say something that will incriminate someone doesn't mean that you're ready to take the next step and to actually lie for him. And I'll prove that to you. The famous case of Mori Bar Isik, or sometimes it was Chana Bar Isik, where his brother, his long-lost brother, now his father had left on a trip many years ago with a young brother. It's now 30 years later. His father dies overseas. He's never seen the brother. A guy comes in and says, "Hi, bro, it's time to split the property." He says, "I ain't never seen you before." "What do you mean? You don't recognize your long-lost brother?" "Never saw you before in my life." So what happens in such a case? So comes a long brother from Bechoza. "Time for us to split the estate. I never saw you before." So he goes and sues him in Rav Chista's bezin. So also come to Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says, "Look, Shapri Karmelach. I mean, there's no reason why you should accept the fact that you're his brother. I mean, it says, Vayakar Yosef et Echav, Ve'im lo Yikiru. How in the world is he supposed to recognize you? I mean, you say, I recognize him." "Yeah, of course. You were a kid and he was an adult. A child who comes back is not recognizable. And he can't be expected to recognize you. Prove it. Bring us some witnesses who knew that you're the guy that was his brother and grew up." So he says, "Itli sahadi, I have witnesses. But, I mean, look, you guys all know that the Bar Isiks are not a simple family. I mean, they're pretty scary. Nobody wants to start up with them. My witnesses refuse to testify." "Have you got a witness protection program? Are we going to be changing their identity and so on, or what? Because if not, there's no way for me to bring witnesses. I got plenty of witnesses." "But Mr. Finomine, the Gabra Almahu, Omar Leila Dide." So he turns to the Bar Isik, and he says, "Okay, so you bring witnesses that he's not your brother." So he says, "Well, but you can't do that. Dino Haki, I mean, that's not the halacha. He's coming to take away my property, claiming he's a brother. I got to prove he's not a brother." "This is how I deal with people like you and the whole family. You're going to bring the witnesses." Yeah, so, because, I mean, in cases, the Bezdin can do this type of thing if they feel that indeed there's a need in order to protect people from Almim. So now, let me ask you. Now, this is my riot, okay? We see witnesses are going to be quiet because they're afraid of this guy. So if witnesses are going to be quiet because they're afraid of this guy, then why would we not think that the witnesses that he brings, the Bar Isik family, are going to also be lying for him because they're all scared of him? So obviously, there's a tremendous difference between witnesses not saying something and getting a witness to actually lie for you. Take that for granted. So then why don't you understand that that would be the case of the Shivcha as well? So if you're going to think that there's no nafkamina, so then why won't we say also that hashtanami atu mishakri? So he'll bring witnesses and they'll be liars. So clearly, tarte lo avde. You see from here that we don't take those. There's a two separate steps. One does not follow from the next. So basically, we end up here with a machlokas as to whether Shivchata dida between Repapi and Repapa is Shivchata dida, an extension of herself, or would she be ne'emenet, because she certainly wouldn't lie. Says the Gemara, that seems to be an old machlokas tanoi, lemeke tanoi. Zo edut, the edut, the above mentioned edut, which is referring to the edut of the Shvuya, where he kilu barabbanan. This is an edut where we know the rabbanan were very, very makil to accept everybody. An ish, an isha, tinok, a tinoket, avia, ima, achea, rachota, they're all believed. The only one that we wouldn't believe is avalo bena ubita, and lo avda v'shivchata. So you see over here that the Brisa seems to be saying we will not accept her own personal evidence, shivcha, testimony that she was, even when it comes to the kula of shvuya, that she was not raped. V'tanya idach, whereas another Brisa says, hakol ne'amanim le'aid, everybody's believed, chutz mehenena uba'ala, except for her own self and her husband. So apparently Rav Papi and is agreeing over here. So Rav Papi, who says that she's not believed, and Rav Ashi. I mean, they have no choice. I mean, there's one Brisa that's saying that she is believed. Okay, but what is Rav? Does Rav Papa have a way out of this, or he says over here she's not believed? Does he have to also say it's Tanoi, or is there another system of belief which would be allowable according to him, even in a case of Shifchata, without violating the normative Shifchata's relationship which prevents her from testifying? Says Rav Papa, yes, I have a very simple way out that you guys haven't considered here, which we've spoken about before. The Braita that includes the Shifcha as Ne'emenet, that's talking about where she is Mesicha Lefi Tuma. And in a case of Mesicha Lefi Tuma, we will accept testimony from people even where they are normally, if they would be coming specifically to testify, not believed. So, I mean, if we find this woman extremely distraught, the Shifcha, telling over their horrific stories and how they escaped the Nazis and they crawled through the sewers and the whole thing that she's going on, and it's clear from that story that the Nazis never got to them. So, you know, that's not her point. She's basically telling over the newspapers the whole thing and trying, you know, I mean, maybe she can sell the story and somebody. But the point is, it wasn't coming as a believer. Ki ode chiyasur evdimi omer evchanan kartigoi mishtoi ma'aseh balif neyred Yeshua ben Levi. That this was Rav Chana. Now, of course, Barnea can tell us it's all about Kartigna and Carthage, huh?
Is it Carthage?
I would assume. It sounds like it, although it would have been nicer with a thuf. So Ma'aseh Balifnei Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, or some say it was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi who said over the Maisa, that a Maisa was Balifnei Rebbe, that there was an Adam Echad, there was a guy who came also describing the depth of commitment that he had to take care of his mother, who was under these circumstances, who was captured by Goyim. And he was just saying, like, how he wouldn't leave her alone for a minute and was always standing between her and the soldiers. It was Metziach Lefituma. And he said, Ani v'imini shbeinu lebeinu avdei kochavim, I want you to know whether I went out for a minute, lishov maim. It was only when da'ati alimi, it was only where I made absolutely sure nobody was around for a minute, I would walk out for a minute. Lila kate tzim da'ati alimi, and never left her alone for a moment. V'yisiyah rabbi l'kuin alpiv, based on and this is a ben that we said is not believed, but because it was Mesiach Lefitumo, in this case it was believed, and therefore mentions together with the ben and mentions Shifchata. So why can we not simply say, instead of making a machlokas, Tanoim says Rav Papa, the Braita is referring to the ben and a Shifcha who could be believed to be Mesiach Lefitumo, and that would be the case. Very good. All right, so we end up with quite a lot of variation in the sugya of Cheshashas. Cheshashas that affect only Kohanot, Cheshashas that affect even an Eishes Yisrael, according to some Rishonim, Cheshashas that have to do with protecting herself, and there we're more Mako, Cheshashas were on the contrary, were Cheshashas that she will not protect herself. Cheshashas, by the way, as Tosis points out, the Nafkamina between the opening and the Masechta, where we were afraid to be Misakin, a halacha legabe, the din of Niseid B'Yom Revi, for fear that there are women who would rather die than to be nivellat al hegemon, even though they don't have to give up their lives to be nivellat al hegemon. So dafka we're cheshesh that tznuis will die rather than sleep with this guy. And over here we seem to be saying the opposite, that we're afraid that she will in fact be nisratzei. So this is bothered by this. We'll have to say maybe we're cheshesh that she's not a tznua, or maybe indeed there are serious nafkaminas between Stockholm syndrome situations and stamasakana situation. Okay, again, these are all things that need to be taken into consideration. Chavasha al yedei the Beit Din for purposes of money, or chibush where she's on death row, or a whole new concept that we're not familiar with in our days, which is actually taking a woman as a mashkam, hurana, questions of whether that is the same as nachbashar, whether that's different since they believe that they have a right to do whatever they want, ne'manut of even an eved v'shivcha, nafkamina between her own personal shivcha, not her own shivcha, questions of mesiach levituma, non mesiach levituma, and furthermore issues of whether we will accept a migu in cases like this where it's not a vadai. All of these marvelous and beautiful issues have been raised in the course of the past three Mishnayos that have spoken out the various levels of chashash.